some other thing that you don't really want to show on the Google cable channel?
All of a sudden, you know, picture.
I got Debbie Does House.
Oh, jeez. I wasn't going to go there. That was great.
Thank you. That was great. Well, if you're going to do it, you might as well go big or go home.
Right? Yeah, I guess. I was going to say a picture of Charlie.
Rich, he's got a voicemail from Paul.
I think this is a cute shelter.
Yeah.
To get all the kids in midair like that.
That's a great video.
I think it is. I actually did look at that to see if it was like the first try or not. Yeah. It's hard to tell what it was.
Photoshop. Makeup on.
Yeah. One of the kids who used to babysit our kid, my kid's house, was on there.
1 inch.
And he goes to do the super soaker at my kid's.
Why are you putting that in there? Special out here.
And then I got just completely soaks me with the super soaker.
It's not power driven.
Screwed it up.
Job security.
Andrew, you ready?
I'm ready.
Hey, do you want to talk today?
No. Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the February 16th meeting of Orrville City Council staff. This evening will be led in prayer by Pastor Newt Brenneman. Everyone stand, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Let's pray. Father God, we recognize you are good. Lord, we recognize that your will is perfect and that your plan for us is the best plan there is. And Lord, we're reminded of your promise that says you are working all things together for good for those who love you. And so, Father, we recognize you are sovereign. Sometimes we don't understand you are sovereign, and yet you choose to work in and through people. So, Father, I ask you for a heart of gratefulness, thankfulness, Lord, that opens a way for you to work with us, that your plans would come to be. And, Father, I thank you for establishing all leadership on the earth and in Orrville. I thank you for this leadership in our government. And, Father, would you grant guidance by your wisdom, favor, and Father, courage. Lord, let this town be known for one that is established in your will and shows your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Pastor. Have roll call, please.
Shoup.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
Vance.
Here.
Hampshire.
Present.
Asparis.
Here.
Korfman.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Everyone should have received a copy of the minutes of our February 1st meeting. Are there any revisions or corrections to those minutes? See none?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that those minutes be accepted as documented.
Thank you. Second, Mr. Hampshire.
Wilson.
Abstain.
Vance.
Abstain.
Hampshire.
I'll say yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Korfman.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Shoup.
Yes.
For public comment this evening, the Heartland Education Committee, because of the way that weather happened for today, there was no school, so they're not going to be here tonight. Mr. Mayor, is our guest going to speak at this point or later on?
No, Mr. Wheeler will introduce her.
Okay.
During his report.
Okay, thank you. We'll move to standing committee reports. Finance. Mr. Asperis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report this evening.
Thank you. Utilities, Mr. Corkman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Utilities has no report.
Thank you. Health and Safety, Mr. Vance.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report.
Thank you. Parks and Recreation, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report.
Thank you. Transportation, Mr. Shoup.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also have no report.
Thank you. Planning, Mr. Hampshire.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ditto the above.
Thank you. Mr. Lorson, how are you this evening?
Thank you, Mr. President. Ordinance and personnel have no report either.
Thank you. Well, that went really easy. We have no special committee reports. We'll move to administrative reports. Mayor Handwerk.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I have several items. First off, was actually driving around town a little bit around 11 o'clock today, and I saw quite a few people out, and it could have been because there was no school, because some of them were looked like middle school and high school kids, and I don't know if they were organized groups or just groups, but there were a lot of people shoveling snow. And so I don't know if they were, you know, going around looking to help people or going around to make a few extra dollars or whatever it was, but it was nice to see, because I'm sure that they got some people's walks done and driveways done that needed some help. So that was good to see. Secondly, our employee of the month for February is from the utility administration, and that is Ben Van Zyl. Ben has been a lifelong resident of Oroville who started with the city in January 2010. As a buyer. He resides in Oroville with his wife Katie, and they have three daughters, Rhiannon and Evelyn and Aspen. Since starting with the city, he has completed a bachelor's degree in business at Malone College, became certified in production and inventory management, and will graduate in August 2016 from Ashland University with an MBA specializing in supply chain and project management. Ben has always been one to go the extra mile for all of the city events that he works with, and he continues to help out with the tool room and help out when another buyer is on vacation. This past summer, he's also obtained a realtor's license and works for Bob Miller Realty in his spare time. He looks forward to continuing to work and grow within the city, and we thank Ben for all that he does. We had lunch today, actually, at Dragonstock's. The third thing I wanted to mention is just to update council a little bit on a project that we're going to be having here at City Hall. Probably will start, it sounds like, the first week of March. But the foyer area, all of that outside area there in the foyer, two floors there, we're looking at 23, 24 years since this addition of the City Hall was done, and really nothing has been done to that as far as the painting, wallpaper, or anything like that. If you take a good look at that area, especially during the day, it's getting in pretty bad shape. A lot of the wallpaper starting to come loose on the seams, and it's dirty. So we have a project coming, as I said, starting in probably the first week of March, it looks like now, to get the wallpaper off of those areas that has wallpaper on it. We found out by accident a few years ago when I did my office that all the wallpaper that was put on in this City Hall was put on over the drywall with no sizing or no primer, so it is a mess when it comes off. The paper itself comes off okay, but it leaves the wall a mess, so there will be, and we found this out last year when we did the finance hallway, we have a drywall person, a company coming in to skim coat that, so it basically brings it back to a good drywall finish so it can be painted. That will be painted. We also, if you ever take a look at that large wall coming up the stairway, that's going to have to be scaffolded no matter what we do to it. It will be a little bit more initially to do what we want to do, but overall I think it will be a good cost savings because we're going to put stone on that wall just from the bottom floor coming up the stairs all the way up to the peak, so that will be done. The company that's going to do that said they don't need to take the paper off, so we save, you know, having the paper taken off. We don't have to do the skim coating. They use, what do I want to say?
Wire mesh.
Huh?
Wire
furring strips.
Furring strips, that's right, yes, furring strips. They use furring strips on there, on the paper itself, so that they don't have to bother taking that off. And that'll be attached to the wall with mesh and so forth. So we save actually having that step to do. It'll be a dirty mess, especially with the drywall portion of it. You know what that's like when you're sanding drywall. A lot of that work will be done at night when there's nobody working or coming into City Hall, but obviously it's not going to be spick and span every day. Probably take a week or so for the drywall portion, another week or so for the painting, and then the stone will do last. And I have a sample of the stone. This is kind of what it'll look like on that wall. And the colors of the paint, it's a gray and a beige and then an accent color of a dark blue that will kind of go with that stone. And should really make the area look nice out there. We just really have looked at that the last couple of years. It is our City Hall. You know, we like people to fix up their homes so they look nice in town. It didn't really look good to have our City Hall look bad when people come in there for meetings and so forth. So that'll be starting, and you'll see that money budgeted in Mr. Wheeler's budget later on when we look at the budget. So it's in there. And I can talk to you individually after the meeting if you have any other questions on that. But I just want to let you know that is coming up. So if you walk in here in a couple weeks and think, oh my goodness, what's going on? That's what it is. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Move to our Safety Service Director, Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. As you can guess, most of our day today was spent dealing with snow. I want to commend the Street Department for doing a good job. And as the Mayor mentioned, commend the citizens for being out there. A lot of clear sidewalks today, and there's a lot of snow to pick up, so we appreciate that. In meeting with USDA, which United States Department of Agriculture, our rural development folks about potential grant opportunities. We discovered that they have some neat programs that could benefit our residents. So we've asked Denise Perry of USDA Rural Development to come and educate us tonight about some of those programs. So I ask Ms. Perry to come up and talk to council for us.
We had a meeting back a couple months ago with Smuckers to kind of team up to help the city of Gorville. We have several different loans. We have a loan for home purchase, and we also have loans and loan grants for elderly to do home repair, plus any other homeowner within an income guideline. I have several information packages and some little flyers here that I brought with me. I'll go ahead and give them to Kristen, and thank you very much for everything you've done for me to get me here today. But we have 33 to 38 year loan terms for people to purchase homes. We have a 20 year loan for anyone who's a homeowner that meets our guideline or income guideline that we can help with home repairs. 62 and older, we can do a grant up to $7,500. And a loan up to $20,000 at a 1% interest for home repairs. Our interest rate right now for our 502 program, which is the home purchase, is 3.25%. It can be as low as 1% depending on their income, and it'll gradually go up to that 3.25 or whatever it is at the time of closing. I spoke with Kristen. They're going to put a flyer, I believe, in the utility bills for the next 4 weeks that gives information regarding our program, the home purchase, and also the home repair. So if you guys want anything, I have cards, my business cards, and then I also have some flyers that I can leave with Kristen. I can email any information to you guys that you may want. Either let her know, or I'll leave my cards for you guys here. You can email me or call me. So. Do you guys have any questions?
Can you go back to the home repair? Just get a little guidelines on that with the grant program. To me, that's just a fascinating program that I can see a lot of our seniors want to take advantage of.
I do want to say, also in the 502, our maximum loan amount for Wayne County is $190,000. Not guaranteed that you're going to be eligible for that amount, but that is our maximum loan amount for that. For our 504 program, Depending on the household size, it ranges income-wise from $22,200 a year to $41,800 for a family of eight. So if they are within that income guideline or below that income guideline, we can help with home repairs up to $20,000, and that can be anything. Grants have to be health and safety, and that can be up to $7,500, but you have to be 62 or older for our grant program.
Can you give some examples of the health and safety grants you're talking
Furnace, air conditioning, if a doctor says, you know, the elderly need an air conditioner, anything really septic, tie-ins, which I don't think we have a problem with Orville area.
Handicap ramps, would that be?
Handicap ramps would be, yes. What would be roofs? Siding, not really, because that's more of a cosmetic than it is, unless it becomes holes and, you know, issues for elderly. I think what I've just done recently. The big ones are roofs. We can also do electrical for health and safety. Let me think.
Driveway.
We're doing drywall and insulation for one of the ladies down in Knox County. She, it was a mess. But I'm the originator for Wayne County. I also do Tuscarawas, Carroll, Columbiana, Knox County. Those are my counties that I cover. We have other areas, Medina and that as well. We cover the whole northeastern part of the state. Our office does.
Mr. Brenner mentioned sidewalks.
Sidewalks and driveways? Driveways,
only if they are handicapped and have to be in a wheelchair, can we do the concrete. They would have to be alone. Sidewalks, that would be usually the city, or no, the homeowner has to pay that. I would assume that if that's something that becomes a health and safety issue, we could do that, but probably we'll lean more towards a loan. Our loans are only 1%. It's $4.60 per thousand, up to 20,000, and we do a 20-year loan on that. We do a loan grant combo too, so that would also work as well. Loan grant combos right now are the easiest for us to get. The national office holds all of our money right now. We're looking to get some money, hopefully in the next couple weeks, of our own, so we don't have to actually go to them for money. As you guys all know, it's all through Congress that we get it, and we're waiting for our budget to come through. Any questions?
Is there an application deadline for these benefits
No.
loans?
You can apply
just
anytime.
Just when the funds run out?
Right. If the funds run out, which we hopefully won't have that issue, from what I understand, there's a budget that's signed all the way through to next year. So when October comes around, we're hoping to still have money and be able to continue. But a lot of times it kind of stops for a little bit until Congress does what they need to do, and then provides us with the funding. I've been with the agency, it'll be 19 years this year. So started out at processor, and now I'm out doing other work. So I know from the beginning to the end. So if you guys need anything, just call me. Any other questions? Paul?
What is the capacity? I mean, if everybody who thinks they qualify for a loan, if they all apply, is there money available, or is it
there's
some other
money.
Programs have had to fix up properties, it's only a few, and then there's no more money?
We have plenty of money right now. We've got plenty of loan money. Our 502-50, which is our 502 home purchase, we have money. We don't even have an issue at all. Usually around October, end of September is when we start to run out, and that's when realtors get a little frustrated with us because we don't have the money anymore. But it sounds like Congress is kind of trying to get things together where they can maybe do multiple years of fiscal, you know, funding. So hopefully we won't run out this year, is what we're looking at, as long as they do it, they save it. Any questions?
Do you require a down payment for the home loans?
There is no down payment with our program. You will have closing costs, but a lot of times the sellers will pick those up depending on how you negotiate. And then we also have inspections, home inspection, and they have to pay their first year homeowner's insurance. So, and then next year, the escrow for taxes and insurance. So every year when the insurance is due, they'll pay it out of their escrow, and then same with the taxes when they come due. They'll get paid.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's a good program. Mm-hmm. It really helps low to very low income people. Some people who wouldn't have a down payment that can't go through a bank can go through us. And we do have credit scores. We have to have at least a 640. We require 3 trade lines, open trade lines for at least 12 months. If they don't have credit cards, car payments, because a lot of people are starting to go that way, we've noticed. So they now require alternative credit, which would be car insurance, rent, utility bills, electric bills, cable, anything like that, that they can provide a 12-month history to show that they continue to make their payments every month, then we can look at that in an alternative credit situation for them, which most banks can't do that either. We're trying not to compete with the banks is what we're doing. We're trying to get the people that they can't help. So a lot of times their house payments look cheaper than their rent. So. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Okay. I'll go ahead and leave information with Kristen then, and if you guys have any questions, she'll have all my information.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's my report for this evening.
Well,
I'm the star of the show later, so.
Okay, we'll be looking forward to that. We'll move to our utilities director, Mr. Brenniger.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just have one informational item there. I did send out an email earlier. We had a bunch of balloons last night end up in our high voltage transmission line, which caused an outage. So fortunately, there were no customers impacted by that. Now, if we fast forward again a year under the new EPA regime in 2017, next year might be a different situation there, but we had all of our generating units up at that time. Our crews safely got these out. There wasn't any damage to any of the wires or the poles, but this bunch landed in that 138,000 volt line just opposite Purpose Marathon last night about 8 p.m. So about the best I can come up with tonight, Mr. President.
Thank you. Move to our finance director, Ms. Stremler.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to give council some advance notice. The next meeting, I will have a note ordinance on the agenda. If you recall, this is for a note that was originally issued in 2008 for the water utility projects. We roll the note over every year. Last year was issued for $800,000. We will renew it this year for $400,000 and anticipate doing the payoff in 2017 for that. If you recall the last few years, the note has been issued to the county. They have expressed an interest in that note again with a similar rate to what we've had in previous years. So we will pursue that option, assuming council approves the ordinance to move forward. The only other thing, we've been really busy with our final appropriations and also our audit preparations. You can expect to receive your final appropriation books on March 4th so that you have an opportunity to review those before the workshop on the 14th. And that's all I have this evening.
Thank you. For my report this evening, I also would like to thank the street department. They did a nice job on the streets. We finally did get to use some of the salt, I'm sure, but the job that was done was a good job. Thank you. As a reminder for the people on council, oops, somebody, where are you pointing your finger at?
To see if I have a report, and I do not. So. You're fine. Okay. You're fine.
Okay. Well. I didn't see your finger quick enough. The other item that I had this evening is to remind everyone, if you're required to submit a financial disclosure report to the state of Ohio, make sure that you get that done this year. They decided to move the date again this year. It's in May. It's usually income tax day that it's required. Last year, they had some of them that were due in March. but this year it's May, and I don't know how they decide those dates, but that you use the correct form. That's all I have for this evening. We will move to old business. Mr. Larson.
Resolution number 316. I move this resolution be placed on second reading.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Resolution number 316. A resolution authorizing the Board of Control to enter into an agreement and or agreements with the State Auditor's Office to prepare the annual audit for fiscal year ending December 31st, 2015 and declaring an emergency.
Okay. Ms. Strimlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Again, this is granting authority to the Board of Control to issue a purchase order to the State of Ohio for the annual audit expense. The charge is split among several funds. It is estimated this year that the expense for the city side will be over $15,000, and that's why this legislation is necessary.
Anyone have any questions?
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of the resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Shoup.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
I move resolution number 316 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Asparis.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Resolution number 416. I move this resolution be placed on second reading.
Second, Mr. Corkman.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Resolution number 416. A resolution authorizing the Safety Service Director to enter into a contract and or contracts for the lease of concession stand space for the sale of soft drinks, ice cream, candy, popcorn, peanuts, and other like items at Orr Park for the years 2016 and 2017.
Mr. Wheeler, anything new for us here?
Thank you, Mr. President. As I mentioned in the last meeting, there was an organization with the schools, within the schools, that was interested in doing the concessions. That was the Orville Band Parents. They have agreed to take over the concessions if we so desire. They would like us to do that for a year trial run, if you will. As I think everyone knows, the band parents are in charge of the football concessions and do a fantastic job over there. So I would love to give them the opportunity to give this a shot, and we'll see how it goes. And just sort of go from there with it.
Anyone have any questions?
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
So second, Mr. Shoup.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
I move resolution number 416 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Resolution number 516. I move this resolution be placed on second reading.
Second, Mr. Corkman.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Resolution number 516. a resolution authorizing the Public Utilities Board of Control of the City of Orrville, Ohio, to advertise for bids and to enter into a contract and or contracts for lime sludge removal and declaring an emergency.
Mr. Brediger, anything for this one?
Not much more, just to remind at our last meeting, as we discussed, this is a routine piece of legislation that we clean these lime lagoons out every 3 to 5 years. We're budgeting to clean two of those out this year at an estimated cost of about $180,000. This is two out of the three that normally fill up with the byproduct of our water softening process. We usually do this work in the springtime. This lime sludge that gets removed by the contractors does end up as a soil amendment, basically like a fertilizing a product that goes on a lot of our area farms. And I'd be happy to answer any other questions that you may have for that.
See any questions?
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Corkman.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Chu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
I move resolution number 516 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Hampshire.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Chu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
That completes our old business for this evening. We have no new business to add, so we will move to Mr. Wheeler in the Safety Service Department annual report.
I didn't need to say anyway, so you're fine.
I was reading down the clips anyway.
Oh, is that right?
You're fine.
I actually learned from his lesson. Use the other
dissertation or
no, it's all
thesis or
it's online. I mean, I have to go to class, but basically a simulation of running a tennis shoe company. You compete with military forces in the United States and a few of the foreign countries. It's very comprehensive. And
this is through Walsh Ashland.
It's called business. The name stands for business strategic. Something like that. But it's pretty interesting that you have.
Good evening. My name is Steve Wheeler. I'm the Safety Service Director. And this is the 2015 annual report for the Safety Service Department. 2015, again, was another busy year for us. Plenty of significant road projects as well as construction within the city. We were blessed with that. And so as a result, let's get started into the report. As you can see by the zoning certificates issued, we had 5 single-family homes constructed. Those are on Homestead, Heritage Court, Deer Creek, and Hemlock. We also had two two-family homes. and those were on Emerald Court and Blackberry. Blackberry also had two four-family homes constructed as well. Finally, in the new industrial, we did have one $3 million project, which was the Jared's Warehouse on Main Street, which is still under construction. But we also had 12 industrial and commercial additions and alterations. Some of the bigger projects of those 12 were the Vet Clinics addition, the Verizon Cell Tower, and the Chick Hatcheries addition. We also had 33 signage permits issued for a total of $84,000 worth of projects. There was one project which accounted for almost half of the total there, which was the O'Reilly sign. Overall, as you can see, we had $7,178,303 in zoning projects issued for 2015. Property maintenance violations. Dan Lau is the Safety Service Department inspector. Does a great job for us, and as you can see, he was very busy in 2015. We had 25 properties in violation. We had 70 visits made by the Safety Service Department inspector, 49 letters sent from our department, and we had a total of 22 violations corrected and closed. And based on the construction as well as the demolition that occurred within the city, we estimate there's 3,720 dwelling units within the city limits, and 8,444 is our estimated population. As everyone knows, we had entered into a new contract with Kimball in 2015 where they provided recycling bins and new solid waste bins. And as you can tell by this recycling and landfill summary, the new bins really paid off for us. We experienced an increase of 169,000 pounds increase in recycling for 2015, which is an 18% increase. What's interesting is we also experienced a 1% increase in our solid waste as well. I don't know if that relates back to the bins or not there, but overall 59,000 additional pounds of solid waste. Our park and pool receipts, I want to note our pool receipts were $47,461 for 2015. That was a three-year high. Our pool and rec expenses was a little over $112,000. We didn't have any capital expenses within pool in 2015. Our park receipts were $16,320. Our park expenses, $182,627. And we did have capital expenses of just under $51,000. Those included a new park mower. We did a complete tennis court restoration in cooperation with the high school folks. And we also completed the ball fields with some fencing caps from the 2014 project. And I noted the pool receipts because the pool attendance, unfortunately, does not reflect the actual pool receipts, which when you look at it, you're like, that doesn't make sense, and it doesn't. We had some software issues at the pool. As a result, the attendance was not tracked as well as it could have been, and it shows in those numbers. Based on the revenues, I would strongly believe that our attendance was closer to our 2013 numbers than significantly below those numbers. Cemetery receipts and expenditures. We had $45,076 in receipts, $1,756 in interest income, for a total operating receipts of $46,832. Maintenance endowment receipts, we had $15,549. And that fund balance now is over $400,000 for the maintenance endowment fund. General fund expenditures was $162,626. Capital expenditures for the cemetery was just under $44,000, and that was the Ash Garden and the Section 12 paving. Total expenditures was $206,602 for our cemetery in 2015. Number of burials remained very consistent from 2014. We had 59 burials in 2015. Of which 53% were residents and 47% were non-residents. And here's our grants update. As everyone knows, Kristen Ensley is our grants coordinator. We had another good year with receiving grants. We received $60,000 in CDBG funds for the Jefferson Avenue resurfacing. We also received our annual recycling grant from the Joint Solid Waste District of $25,353. And we also had the opportunity from the Joint Solid Waste District to receive some recycling money for our compost center. And as a result of those dollars, $15,417, we were able to chip and seal the driveway and do completely new fencing around there, which really ended up looking very nice for those that haven't been out there. In 2015, we also moved on to step five of the truck route engineering, and that is the phase two of the truck route for the Pine Street portion. And also, you'll see here, obviously, was the 80% share from ODOT for the East High Street construction, which was completed in 2015. We received $765,000 for that project. Overall, we received $884,296 in grant funds. The next slide reflects the last 11 years of history, our history of grants. As you can see, we've been very fortunate, very steady amount of, over the last 11 years. And again, $884,296 for 2015. Moving over to our Green Pavilion, we had another busy year at Green Pavilion. The Green Performing Arts Program, which Gene Galt does a fantastic job of organizing and administrating, had another successful year. We had five performances, received $3,937 in donations, and spent $3,050 on our performers. And we estimate attendance about 150 per performance. And the other Green Pavilion event that we hold every year is our family movie night. This program is completely organized and administrated by Kristen Ensley. The Oracle lifeguards actually do a great job of setting up for the movie, so I have to give them some kudos as well. This year we had three movies held at Orr Park. We received $1,153 in donations. The cost of the three performances was $1,153. And we do estimate attendance at about 100 per movie this year. And finally, here's a slide that we created, I don't know, it's probably been 3 years ago already, which sort of summarizes our number of road projects for the year, but also gives a history of the road projects, and I think really does a nice job of reflecting the amount of work that is being done on our roads. Again, Jefferson Avenue was completed. That total project cost was just under $77,000. The High Street Extension project was completed, which was $943,000. And we spent $1.1 million on concrete streets, obviously emphasizing Hostetler, Elm, and Crown Hill. We also completed the City Hall parking lot and Section 12 Cemetery asphalt projects. Those cost $46,562. And then we did the much-needed back Maslin Country Lane project, of which was just over $300,000. Overall, we spent just under $2.5 million on our road projects in 2015, of which $825,000 was paid for with grant dollars. And the bottom portion, I think, really shows that we continue to make progress on our road repairs. And, you know, I thank the mayor and council for your ongoing commitment to fund those projects and really emphasize the continual infrastructure projects. As you can see, over the last 7 years, we've done 47 streets. I will say that, you know, I do recount streets if there are streets that we've already worked on, Hostetler, Elm, and Crown Hill, obviously, we've done over the last 2 or 3 years, so those are repeat counted, if you will. But overall, it does show that in the last 7 years, we've spent just under $12 million on road projects, with almost $5 million of it in grant share. And I would dare say that most cities would be envious of that commitment that we've been able to make to our roads. And finally, here are a few pictures. For those of you that haven't had a chance to get out to the cemetery, there's the gazebo at the new Ash Garden under construction. And we also took some pictures of the concrete street work, which was obviously took up several months to complete that project as well. I do want to thank Karen Flinner for her work putting this program presentation together. This is old hat for her. She's done this several years now, but I do want to give her a special thanks. And I'd be glad to answer any questions. Yes, sir, Mr. Hanson.
Will the new Ash Garden have, how many occupants on about do we have?
We had two burials.
We have one.
Okay.
I'm not sure if the second
video. Okay. So we had one almost immediately. We have sold about, let's say, 25 of the lots. We had several people take advantage of the discount period. A lot of interest. We still get phone calls about it, and I feel pretty good that we'll fill that in due time. Obviously, there are a lot of lots there to fill, but it'll definitely pay for itself. Yes.
Have you made provisions to correct that attendance?
Yes, we're actually working with some software vendors. Unfortunately, the pool software was not something we were able to address with the ERB software, which is coming on board here. So John, I, and Karen are all working with a vendor to try to come up with some new software. Not going to be cheap, unfortunately, but it is something that the software out there is outdated and unreliable, to be honest. So, yes, we are in the process of trying to fix that.
Stuff up.
Any more questions?
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was pretty quick.
15 already. Minutes. It's not too late. That covers in half.
Scale back my slides.
Or try refreshments.
I've already worked on some popcorn.
Did you guys slip all the helium out of it?
Of course
we did.
Did you send that photo to Luther?
I do too. I think it's cute.
That's cute.
Sorry. Maybe you could back up on the syndicate. You could be.
And find the person that was intended for and handle it.
Ready again, Andrew?
Ready.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. That finishes our annual report. Mayor, did you have something else for us this evening?
Mr. Baker mentioned earlier complimenting our street crew on the job they did today, and I also would like to do that. I bring that up now just because I was thinking, I got one irate phone call today from someone because their street didn't get cleared until 10:30 this morning. Mr. Scott, how many plows do we actually have?
Well, we actually have more plows right now than we do people. We were three short today. We had 12 vehicles out with plows on.
And Mr. Wheeler, I know we've talked about this before, but I can't remember a number. Do you remember the number of miles of streets we have? Isn't it?
It's actually in my report here.
I thought I saw it somewhere.
50.
50 miles? Okay.
Yeah.
50,
yeah.
Obviously, if you do that math, that it doesn't all get done at the same time. Whatever time those guys start, which is usually pretty darn early on a day like today, they can't all go to a street all on the same, you know, everybody's street can't be first, I guess what I'm trying to say. We've talked before about a priority list. Obviously, they do the main arteries first and work their way down from there. This was a small neighborhood street. When I told you earlier I was out driving around about 11, that was one of the areas I went to. By 11 o'clock, that was nothing but wet asphalt. Now, obviously, the temperature helped with that, with it warming up today. But the fact is, by 10:30 this morning, all the streets were done. Now, they might have gone back a few times later to clear some more slush off. But I think we get spoiled. I have a sister that lives in Columbus, and I visited her about 2 or 3 years ago, a day after a storm very similar to this, and her street was a mess. And I said, man, you know, this is really not too good to drive through. When are they going to come and plow the street? And she goes, oh, they never do. I said, they never do? And she goes, well, maybe if it's a foot or two, they would come out. But on a snow like that, they don't come out in a neighborhood like this. So, and that's a bigger neighborhood than anywhere we have here in town. But again, I think we get a little bit spoiled with the job that gets done here. And so, again, I'd like to tell Mr. Scott we appreciate the job you guys did today. And that's all.
I'd like to add something to that. Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
And you've mentioned this before, too. I would like to ask the homeowners, don't blow the snow from your driveway out into the plowed street, please.
Very true.
So that everyone has to drive through it the rest of the day. So, blow it to the sides. Thank you.
It does make a mess, too.
Yes.
It gets packed down. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. We're ready to move on to the good of the order. Anyone have any other comments for this evening? Okay. We have one item left. Mr. Vance.
Mr. President, I move we adjourn.
Thank you. Second, Mr. Aspiris.
Aspiris?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Chu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes, ma'am.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for attending our meeting. We're now adjourned.
I should. Can you blow it up? So it's not. Are you going to blow it up?
And I did print those off, so if anybody wants a hard copy instead of doing it online, I do have that. No, I have it here. But some people like to do it online, so I just have to print it off a few just in case.
All right. I got the call last year. I paid $100.
I was just answering your question.